Welcome to the Eric Anders Leg. Whoa.
Welcome. All right. Welcome to the Eric Anders Leg Show.
This is the first time I've ever done a podcast in a headset.
Is it throwing you
Amanda,
off?
Amanda, what do you think? It's really throwing me off. I don't have anything
I gotta
to do with my
be head. Honest. I'm liking the voice on the microphone.
She likes the voice.
Yeah.
She's making me shy a little bit. And now I also can't. I can't laugh. It's like I can't modulate my voice.
Okay. Can I put Snowball on my lap?
Yeah. Come here, buddy.
That feels right.
Come here. Come here. Come here. Amanda needs your support animal.
Come
voice.
Here. I do.
There you go.
Hi, good boy.
Did I say welcome to the Eric Anders Lang Show, the podcast? We're here with Amanda Baliones.
Yeah.
How you doing, Amanda?
I'm so great because I have Snowball on my lap.
He's a good lap dog.
I got to tell you, I've been working really hard to make him like me. You put him on my lap. He's shaking a little bit. He's not into it, but we're gonna work through this, aren't we, Snowball?
Because
you don't quit on things that you really want.
You can't. I
really want Snowball to love me.
It's like that relationship that just doesn't work out.
Well,
but
no,
I've been trying.
You know, I did that.
Did you?
For like half a decade, and now I said I was never gonna do it again, but here we are.
I don't believe
with Snowball.
That. Why half a decade? Why didn't? What happened?
You know, I think it's a learning experience. Probably everyone goes through, but I've always been very stubborn.
Yeah.
So really, was holding on strong to that one for 5 years.
Yeah, I can see you being a stubborn person.
No, I don't think stubborn in a bad way, but very much so. If I want something, yes, you're never going to convince me I don't want it.
Right.
Even when.
Yeah, you seem very resolute. And,
yes.
And you don't like to have your mind changed.
You know, it's interesting. I was a philosophy minor, so I actually
really?
Very much appreciate seeing different points of view. But yeah, I think I have a very clear vision of where I want my life to be and go, and it's very hard to change that.
But is this what you expected?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You knew that you were going to do CBS, PGA Tour,
I
Callaway, Adidas, all these great companies.
No, not like as detailed as that, because if I could read the future like that, I'd be way cooler than I am now. I'd be doing something way cooler. But no, I always, since I was in middle school and I saw Bonnie Bernstein doing sideline for CBS, and I said, that's what I'm going to be doing. And there was never a point where I was like, maybe I should pursue another career path. It was always, that was the only thing I wanted to do, and it was the only thing I ever worked towards doing.
Right.
See, Snowball is just so out on me. Snowball,
what does he want?
Just, I don't
what does
know,
he want?
But
he's
I
trying
love
to get off
you.
Your lap.
Hang out with me, bro.
So, hang out with me.
Hang out with me. Be my friend.
He's kind of got the coy thing down.
Such a dude.
Yeah.
Look at him playing
yeah.
hard to get, which yeah. makes me want him more.
Yeah.
And I thought I learned that lesson.
He might also just be gay.
This is a red flag.
He might just be gay.
And there's
gay.
Nothing wrong with that, Snowball.
He's spending his lifetime searching for the approval from his dad.
Well, okay, so he has daddy issues. Again, something I know to steer clear of.
But
I'm
his stepdad. I'm not his birth father, luckily. Genetically, we share a lot of similar components.
You do, actually.
Yeah.
What do they say? Owners start to look like their dogs?
Yeah. Well, he just runs around and has fun, and he has, you know, he has a hard time. Well, no, anyway. Making lasting romantic relationships. Okay, cool. That's a cut. I think we're good. How long have we been rolling?
Guys, that was fun.
That was fun. You want a Pellegrino or you want flat water?
Flat water.
We're at the Callaway event. Big thanks to Callaway for setting this up. You work with Callaway.
What are you showing us that for, Nate?
He was showing
okay.
How long has it been? It's been 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Three and a half. I'm an incredible estimator. Okay, so.
Feels like an eternity.
So,
just kidding.
I
just
don't
kidding.
Think that's a compliment. So we're wearing the headsets, which is.
We are.
Which is just, it's fucking confusing. It's like.
Are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yes.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, just
that's
drop
exciting.
Them. Drop them.
Okay.
I feel like we're in a space shuttle.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say, your voice, the quality of it just exponentially increases when a mic goes in front of your face.
Right.
I don't know what happened.
I haven't changed anything.
It's amazing.
I haven't.
I'm here for it.
I haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If this doesn't get you a girlfriend, someone listening to this podcast and hearing your voice, I'm all out of ideas.
I'm getting so nervous. Have you seen me? I'm nervous right now. Why am I nervous? Just shut up. I'm very confident and everything's great. Okay. So, well, let's start the podcast.
All right.
Where'd you grow up?
Well, I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I love Pittsburgh.
Right? One of the most underrated cities, I think, in our country.
I just went. No, like literally, I love... Can we talk about Pittsburgh for a while?
Absolutely.
When did you leave? How long were you there?
So I left when I was 9.
Oh, that's
too
early.
But my whole family stayed. So it was just my mom, my dad, and I
okay.
that moved to Lancaster.
Wait, I lived in Reading.
What?
Yeah.
I went to Kutztown for
Whoa.
A year and a half, played volleyball there before transferring to Hofstra.
Off the 222?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's actually, yeah, that's
crazy.
I
have like a, there's like, so.
How did you end up in Reading?
Well, are you familiar with Wernersville?
No.
It's a small, small town.
Is he
town.
Literally crying now to get off my lap?
No,
this
just,
is this terrible
just
for him?
Just swaddle him. Just swaddle him. Yeah.
Is he going to pee on me or something?
No, no,
because
no.
he's unhappy? Please, I mean, don't spike pee. I had a dog that spike peed once.
What? No, yeah. he would never do that.
Okay. Well,
I mean, maybe he might want to get down. I don't know.
What do you mean he might want to get down?
It does look like
he 1,000,000% wants to get. There we go. Good boy.
Wait, so I went to rehab in Pennsylvania.
That feels right for that yeah. Reading area. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They have. There's not a lot there. Other
there
than
isn't.
Either fucked up people or people that are trying not to be fucked
well,
up.
Well, isn't there's a boarding school there, right? The Hill School?
he just put his paw on my leg.
You
all right,
did? Okay,
I'm going to back up. I'm going to give you some space.
Oh, snowball.
So anyway, I was there, but I just went to Pittsburgh for the first time. Colt and I went like something went on with my mic. Okay. We went like a month ago or whatever, and I like fell in love with
what
Pittsburgh.
What did you go there for?
We went to play golf at Fox Oakland? Chapel.
Oh, Fox
Oakmont.
Chapel.
Yeah.
Yeah, my whole family are members there. They were
what?
Members there. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. It's like one of my favorite courses in the world.
Yeah, it's that area is so great. And I think what I love most about Pittsburgh is it's such like an inspiring story when you look at the city, because obviously people still look at it as a very blue collar city where people worked in the steel mills, right? Like my grandfather worked in the steel mill. It's that is just what Pittsburgh started out as. And then when all that shut down, the whole city reinvented itself and
right.
did something just so new and beautiful. And
what time are you talking
I just
about?
I think it's so cool. I mean, I think over what? The last probably 15 years.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I heard.
It has really changed.
Can you put the mic closer to your mouth, please?
I don't know.
Because you have a great voice.
Thank you.
Yeah,
but usually it's really loud.
No, but it's fine. We got it, right?
Okay, that's good. Because pretty soon he's going to say, can you put that farther away from your mouth? Because no one's ever said to me, we can't hear you.
Yeah.
Did you speak up?
Well, I don't know. Anyway, maybe it's my volume. But
yeah,
I've never, like I said, this head contraption is just so.
It's throwing you off.
I'm used to having the mic, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Welcome to the Eric Anders Lang Show. Now I'm like, yeah.
See, we're pushing boundaries right now.
But how you left Pittsburgh in the
90s.
90s, late
yeah.
90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Wait,
I'm 32. It's okay.
32 is a good number.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a great number.
Okay, new. Yeah.
Yeah. 33, Jesus.
I'm Jewish.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, wait. So, Mr. Rogers, Andy Warhol,
yes.
Pittsburgh.
And there's an amazing Andy Warhol exhibit. Did
yeah,
you go to
I
it?
I didn't go. We didn't have time.
You have to go back. It's great.
Yeah.
It is great. My mom and I have gone many, many times, and
cool.
It never gets old.
We went on a bike ride through Pittsburgh. Didn't I say I could live here? I could move here.
If it weren't for how brutal the winters get, and now I'm such a spoiled baby living in Florida or in California for the last basically decade,
yeah.
I would move back there, I think, in a heartbeat. I mean, and it's one of the ultimate sports cities. When you drive through the tunnels and it opens up and you get this amazing view of the skyline and PNC Park and Heinz Field, oh, it's just the best, man.
Yeah.
It's the best. Yeah,
and they have
a
good
city.
Fall there. We were there in the fall.
Mm.
It was incredible. The golf was incredible. So wait, your family's all member at Fox Chapel? What are the chances?
Huge golf family. So my grandparents met on a golf course. My
no.
mom's parents.
Wait, they met on a golf
yeah.
course? That's very unusual.
Yes, they met on a golf course.
What year? Like
1920,
30, 40?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not great with numbers.
Right, but
my mom's. If I tell you how old my mom is, she will kill me. So
okay,
I
would like you to live
a long time ago.
Yeah.
And the big thing on my mom's side of the family is when we all die, not to be too morbid, when
Whoa.
We all die, we're all gonna meet on the first tee in heaven because they're all very convinced that there's a golf course in heaven, so that's where we're all gonna meet. Or, weirdly, if there isn't a golf course and my grandfather was wrong, we're meeting at the big clock. Because he, for some reason, thinks
there's
going to
be a
big clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, golf has been like...
chipping green?
I guess we'll meet there then. But, yeah, I mean, golf has been a fabric of my life since I can remember.
That is it. Sorry, I'm turning my phone off. That is a beautiful image of heaven.
Right? You can come meet us on the first tee.
But,
you're invited.
You know, I did want to... Can you go to heaven? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Do Jews go to heaven?
Yeah, we just don't believe in hell. It's actually the perfect situation.
Oh, that's the difference. So you're definitely meeting on the first day.
Actually, I think Jewish people, for the most part, just don't believe in an afterlife. But
no.
We pick and choose what we believe
in. Do you actually
my family?
Believe in an afterlife?
I do.
Really?
Oh, I very much so
that's
believe
so cool.
in an afterlife.
So what is that like?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I've been reading some like very hippy dippy books
okay.
recently.
Like,
and there's
like bound with hemp and stuff?
No, there's the one. This is embarrassing. The one I'm reading right now is written by this man who I heard his podcast on Oprah's Soulful Sundays.
Okay.
So I have
I'm a big fan of Oprah.
Oh my gosh, do you listen to her Soulful Sundays?
No, but my mom keeps sending it to me.
Listen.
Yeah.
Thanks, mom.
Respect.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So this is what I do. I have like pretty high anxiety, and I get very nervous, especially before.
That surprises me.
Oh yeah, since I was very little.
I mean, you have such a stressful job.
I do have a stressful. I didn't know if you were being sarcastic.
I'm being completely serious.
Okay, yeah, no.
You have to interview some of the world's most famous athletes after their moments of glory in your life.
Yeah, I know. But I think I thrive.
Or moments of failure.
I do thrive off of that fast pace, like you have one chance to do it right. Like I thrive in that environment.
Interesting.
Yeah, so but I'm very high
anxiety.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit of a masochist, right. I guess, in that way. But yeah, I was listening. So for Oprah Soulful Sunday, I actually think I started this last year. I think it might have been before like one of my first NFL games. And I just had so much nervous energy. And I really have been working on like staying present. Like look at the background on my phone.
What is it?
Oh, I need a clearer.
Can't see anything.
Hold on.
Don't look at these texts, apparently.
No, it was sports updates. Stay present.
Stay present. Oh
and I
God,
can't tell you how many times I look at my phone and I'm like, you're right, put the phone down. So I have a problem with staying present, which happens with people with high anxiety, right? Because you're either worried about the past or you're worried about the future. Mm. Like you're never really there. That's what causes anxiety. So I started downloading Oprah's Soulful Sundays, and I would start my morning before a big work, job, day, whatever, listening to the podcast, putting my phone on airplane mode. And then so it was like an hour of just like me time running on the treadmill, listening to this podcast. And then it like completely reset my day and my mind. And she has some wild guests on.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Wild. So one of the guys is the book I'm reading now. And it's about how to tell how old your soul is.
No way.
Yeah.
That's the title?
Yeah. And you have to confer with your spirit guides.
Okay. Where are they?
I haven't gotten to that part yet, how I find my spirit guides.
Right.
But like he tells you how old Mother Teresa's soul was.
How old?
And like it's like a 0 to 10. I think she had a younger soul.
Really?
But the whole purpose of this book basically is to explain that your soul continues to come back in different forms and in different people until it's learned and accomplished what it needs to learn. So I don't know what that means like in particular, but I feel like so my soul has existed in another form somewhere. And like, that's why I am here today. So, cause my soul needed to learn something different than what it learned in its past life.
What?
I don't know how to handle anxiety.
You're only 32, I guess.
Yeah. But it's wild. So yeah, I very much believe in that stuff.
I buy that.
Yeah. Right.
I buy that. I don't,
how old do you think your soul is?
I don't know. You know, it's funny actually what you just said. The idea of Mother Teresa being a young soul. The irony would be if all the fucker jerks in the world were old souls because they were like, this place sucks.
Right? Can we just stop coming back here?
We've been in line at the DMV for like thousands of years. Can I please just get my license?
I do. But don't you kind of believe that? I think every lifetime, if you believe in multiple lifetimes, I think you do have a purpose of something you need to learn.
Yeah.
Right? Like just one big life lesson in whatever that is. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. I do believe that in my past life, I was a fisherman.
Ooh, why do you think that?
Maybe because I've read The Old Man and the Sea too many times. But it's just this beautifully simple book. It's really the only book that I read. I read it every year.
We're going to have to talk about that.
Have you ever read it?
No, but that's weird. You read one book every year and it's the same one?
I read some other books in between, but I'm not much of a reader.
No, I'm a huge
reader. I don't really ingest information that's created.
Why is that?
I find the world is pretty informational. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would much rather sit in the plane and look out the window or daydream or observe other people.
Because you're creative.
Maybe, yeah.
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 You can, like, live in your own head.
You're pretty creative, too.
No, I'm not creative. I don't have one creative bone in my body.
Really?
Which I think is what makes me...
Hang on. Time out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, there's all types of different podcasts that I've been a part of, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, we're like, 14 minutes in.
Yeah,
but it's already a good one. So you're not giving yourself enough credit for being, for counting conversation as a creative endeavor.
Maybe. I guess I think I'm more of
I'm having fun.
Yeah. Okay. I guess more just like, you're creative. Like you can come up with concepts out of thin air. I do not. I just regurgitate what I see and hear around me so that others can also know what I have seen and heard around me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm never worried about misquoting somebody.
Why?
Because I hear what they say and then I just regurgitate what they say. Like, it would never occur to me to, like, exaggerate it or do so. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not creative. I just hear something and then I go, bleh. That's what they said.
Interesting. You throw up. That's gotten you well this far, I guess.
Right?
Okay. So grandparents met on a golf course.
Yeah.
I want to dig in.
They're the best.
What do you know?
I don't know how. I'd have to call my mom to, like, really get the details. I think it was something
Call her right now. She'll answer the phone.
I think it
call
was.
Her. I'm telling you, call her.
No, she's a. Do you know where my mom is right now?
Israel?
She's on her first girls trip in Vegas.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's the cutest thing ever.
I'm so worried.
Why?
I don't know. I text her when she landed and I was like, stay together. Don't accept drinks from strangers.
Come on.
And like, yeah, text me if you need anything. I'm a quick flight away.
Have you had a bad experience in Vegas that makes you feel like.
I have too much fun in Vegas and I don't want to picture my mom also having too much fun.
She's fine. She's gotten through this far.
I feel like I should have tracked like her banking statements to make sure she's not going back to the ATM too many times and stuff.
Right.
Like, who's going to control her? Not her friends.
Herself? I mean, no.
Oh, she's not... God, I hope so. I don't know.
Is this... Okay, I can't get into the psychology. I was going to say, is this reverse parenting, but I can't get involved.
Oh, I'm such a reverse parent.
Are you really?
That's,
as an
again,
only child, probably.
Comes back to the anxiety. Yeah. I'm worried about everyone all the time.
Interesting.
Now I'm going to worry about you and Snowball.
Why?
I don't know, because that's just what I do.
I do have I'm self-aware enough to know that my parenting style with Snowball is a tad unusual. But, anyway. And we're not going to call your mom, but one of my biggest themes in my life I've found is whether on the golf course or through the game of golf, mm-hmm. you basically meet so many unusual people, you know, and not even unusual, but you meet people that go on to affect your life in big ways. So it's really interesting to hear that your life started from that story generations ago.
Yeah. And it's golf. It's so interesting because people assume, I think, when you're involved in the golf world, unlike every other sport, that if you talk about it, you cover it, you work in it, you have to be fanatical about playing it. And that's not me at all. I love being around the game, and I've always loved being around the game. Like, some of my best memories is, you know, I grew up on a golf course and, like, walking with my friends on the golf course late at night, probably doing things we shouldn't have been doing. But whatever. Like, golf has always been present for me. Or, like, going up to the practice putting green at our clubhouse, you know, just to hang out with my dad and just watching him putt. No, this is in Lancaster now.
Okay, right.
Now we're on to Bent Creek Country Club. Bent Creek Country Club.
Bent Creek, okay.
Yeah, so it's like the rival of LCC.
Oh, really?
But yeah, so it's always just been there, and I've always really appreciated the beauty of being outside. Everyone's generally always in a good mood. You know, like, that's what I think of. When I think of my parents and golfing, I think of them being so happy and supportive. And so it's not so much that I am fanatical about playing.
Right.
But I very much know how it can enrich your life in so many ways, not just by me wanting to go out, you know, to the driving range and bang balls for an hour.
Right.
Like, I don't have to do that to appreciate the game and know what it's already given me throughout my whole life.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
So, okay, so... I need the story about how they met on the golf course. Or do you not, or do we not know the details?
I think I want to say my grandfather had asked out my grandmother and she had said no.
Gangster.
And then she was such a G. And then I think he was like off on a war, came back from said war. They ran into each other on the golf course. And then like she said yes. And
they were independently members at Fox Chapel together?
I believe so.
Wow.
I want to say yes. Yes. If not that golf course, then another one. And then eventually Fox Chapel came into play with my aunts and uncles. And
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, you know, like, because I grew up in a town pretty similar to Pittsburgh. Slightly.
Not Reading.
No. That was, I grew up in a town called Madison, New Jersey, which is it would be, since Pittsburgh is kind of a group of suburbs, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Madison is just a suburb in New Jersey, but it's this very similarly feel, right? With the same kind of trees, the same kind of materials used for buildings.
Yeah.
Not a lot of bridges, but just old, you know, as compared to California. So anyway, I felt right at home there, so I really liked it.
And that's all you want, right? I would say that's why I moved out to California. When Callaway called me and said, we have no idea if you'd be interested in this, but would you want to move to San Diego?
Who called you? Chad?
I think it was Scott Gorel.
Harry? Oh, Scott. Okay.
Yeah. And he said, we have no idea if you'd be interested in this. And they couldn't even get the sentence out fast enough before I have always wanted to live in San Diego because every time I came here, it felt like home.
Right.
And I didn't know why because it's unlike anywhere else I'd ever lived or been, but I just knew I would be so happy here.
Yeah.
And isn't that like, I just feel like that's a cool thing to feel. Like when you go to Pittsburgh and you're like, I know I could live here and be happy, and you would be.
Yeah.
Because.
Could you go back to Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 When Callaway called, you had been working for the PGA Tour for 3 years?
Five years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you were doing, what were the shows? You did like every show. There was like 90 shows.
Yeah, we did. So I was, yeah, like basically like, the host for PGAtour.com.
Right.
And then their live which stuff until you were hired over me for no reason, which we won't get into.
I didn't know. she's referring to a small glitch. Someone fucked up the numbers.
which actually ended up being the best thing that's ever happened to me. Because that week was the moment I realized I had hit my ceiling there. And I had to look for other opportunities. And I'm not kidding you. I made my mind up that week that I had to go. And the next day, I got a phone call. I got the phone call from Callaway out of the blue.
No
saying,
way.
Yeah.
The Thursday after that.
So you might actually be part of the reason why my whole life took this massive turn for the better. How about that?
That's pretty incredible.
Right?
I hated you. I
didn't hate you.
She hated me, folks.
No, I hated the situation.
That's so funny.
But I did hate you when I heard you go, so, like, are we live when the red light goes on? And I was like, this guy got the live job that I wanted.
I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, I know. And you kept saying that. And I was like, I've been working 5 hard years to get this opportunity. This guy doesn't even know what the red light means.
We're going to get back to the story. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. Got a great read for you here. Stay tuned till the end of it because there is a massive deal at the end of this read. Precision Pro Golf, maker of the NX7 series rangefinder, is proud to bring you this spot on the Eric Anders Lang Show. The Eric Anders Lang Show is bringing golf to the masses, which is pretty rad. And Precision Pro is bringing accurate measurements to golfers at an affordable price. Their NX7 series rangefinder was named Best Value Golf Rangefinder by MyGolfSpy.com. You heard that right. Best Value Golf Rangefinder at MyGolfSpy.com. With all the bells and whistles that golfers love, without the bloated price tag that other companies charge, it's the perfect rangefinder to add to your golf bag this year. So right now, Precision Pro is offering $20 off the NX7 series rangefinder. Go to precisionprogolf.com, precisionprogolf.com, and use coupon code ERIC, E-R-I-K, do not spell my name wrong this time, folks, for a free lifetime battery for $20 off, and then you also get free lifetime battery replacement service. Whoa. Dude, you know how many times my battery dies in my rangefinder where I'm just like, grind. Give me a battery. They're so expensive. If you can actually take advantage of that, you could eventually get a free rangefinder by the end of the time. They're not joking, folks. Lifetime battery replacement services. You can check out the awesome reviews on their website or on Amazon. Amazon, that's what's up. To read what other golfers are saying about Precision Pro Golf rangefinders. Once again, go to precisionprogolf.com and use coupon code ERIK, K as in awesome, for $20 off. Swing with confidence, hit more greens with Precision Pro Golf. All right, folks, you know my favorite golf shoe, don't you? I think you do. It's Three Stripe Life, y'all, and that means Adidas. And so anyway, I just wanted to tell you that when I'm a big fan of the Tour 360, obviously, and they've made a huge update to the Tour 360, and the two letters that it's concerned with are the letters X and T, okay? The Tour 360 XT changes the game, okay? It's lighter, so your feet feel even better after a round. By the way, a light golf shoe is what I'm all about. There are some other companies making heavy golf shoes, and I'm just like, by the way, I weigh enough. There's enough going on. I'm carrying a golf bag. I'm carrying my team. Tor XT changes the game. It's lighter, so your feet feel even better after a round, and it still features that Boost, y'all. Do you know where Boost comes from? And Boost is cool because it only comes in black and white. I don't know if you noticed that. And actually, the guy who made Boost like was going to bring it to some other, you know, they were shopping it around, and everyone else said no. Adidas was like, I'll take that Boost, even though it's only black and white. And what did Adidas do with it? They made it awesome. I'm looking at Boost right now on my feet. Boost on my feet. And it has an X-shaped traction system that gives you insane stability. Literally, it's not sane. It's literally crazy. Your feet will literally be like, I'm crazy. Best part, it comes in spikeless. Ooh, that's tight. The first spikeless ever in the history of the Tor 360. Crazy comfortable and perfect for the course. Get your pair at adidas.com. Thank me later. Follow Adidas Golf for all the latest and greatest. That's all true statements right there. Check it out. Go support Adidas because they're a good company, good people. All right, light it. And 3, 2, 1, and we're back in. All right. Got a great day for golf for you folks. We're wearing headsets. Amanda, how's the golf out there today?
So good. It was so fun, wasn't it? It was a great little setup. Callaway always does a great job of thinking outside the box. They're very creative.
Yeah. No, they are. They are, actually. They've got a great team. But you were talking about the moment. You mentioned something. I think it might have gotten watered down, but you were like, basically, you wouldn't maybe have left your job had it not been for a potentially negative experience that you had around not even about me, but you know, we can call it anybody. Well, but you know what I mean? But it's what I'm getting at is, on like a spiritual level, those negative experiences ultimately are the most fertile.
Yeah, I don't think you can evolve or grow into what you're meant to evolve and grow into unless you have those moments, right? Where like you realize, man, I'm banging my head against the wall and I don't enjoy doing this anymore, right? Yeah. And that's in all facets of life, not just in work. But I think it's important to realize that was probably the first time in my life where I realized, okay, I need to make a change. What I'm doing isn't working and I need to change it and get out of my comfort zone.
Right.
And when this whole thing had happened, I was actually in the middle of getting my 200-hour yoga teacher training.
Oh.
And it was like all the things just aligned, right? Because that yoga teacher training was all about breaking down who you are, what you're struggling with, how do you grow from it? Because their whole theory was you can't really be an effective teacher if you are stuck like in, you know, murky waters with your own life. Right, so it was like clearing out all of that stuff, starting new. So I'm going through that. And at the same time, I'm starting to like kind of open my eyes about what the rest of my life is looking like and what maybe drove me to go to this yoga teacher training. And yeah, that week was the week where I said, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I have to really just trust that this is not for me anymore. Right. And I just like knew in my soul, this was not for me anymore. And it was funny. The moment I had kind of like admitted that to myself, the next day I get that phone call.
That's bizarre.
With an opportunity that just came out of nowhere. And it was, yeah, I remember calling my parents and being like, I'm moving to California. And they were like, no, you're not. I was like, yeah. I am like only child. I've always been close to my, you know, parents.
Where do they live now?
Florida.
Okay. In Jacksonville.
No, in Sarasota.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but you know, part of the reason they moved to Florida when they did was to be closer to me.
Right.
You know, so it was just one of those things where I really felt like for the first time I have to do something for myself, and maybe my career isn't going to work out the way I always envisioned it, but it certainly isn't going to work out the way I envisioned it if I stay here.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah, kind of taking that leap of faith. Now, it wasn't as big of a leap of faith because I did obviously have a job secured then out here. But it was certainly not the path that I thought I was going to take. And it ended up taking me exactly where I wanted to be in the end, which is amazing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not like a leap of faith as much as I think it is just like a life change.
Which is scary, right?
It's the scariest thing ever.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
If you're a control freak, type A, high anxiety, that's a very scary thing to just say, okay, I don't know what all the answers are. I don't know what this is going to look like, but let's just do it. But that was like a good life lesson for me was you don't always have to let things get to the most extreme and the most terrible to be able to pivot, you know?
So you're into yoga, you're into meditation.
I suck at meditation. Do you meditate?
I can.
Oh, I get itchy.
What do you mean?
Really itchy. Like the
physically?
Minute.
Like,
yeah.
Literally, so like I need to shower. Like I
get itchy all over my face.
Really?
Yeah. It's like it comes out physically in me when I try to quiet my mind. My body's like, mm-mm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, so the Soulful Sundays is not a meditation?
I think that's my form of meditation because I'm physically moving. I think I really have to be physically moving to turn my brain off.
Right.
I really do. It's like something about doing those two things together. Yeah, definitely calms my mind down.
Well, wasn't yoga originally invented as a precursor to meditation?
I think yoga and I think when you meditate, you're doing yoga.
Right.
Right? I mean, if you can do the breathing and silence your mind. But yeah, I think that is why vinyasa, physical yoga, resonates with me, because I'm moving my body and can quiet my mind then. But right. I can't just sit and quiet my mind.
And do you find that that is a basically a work exercise, right? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, do you need to do that in order to perform your job well?
Yes. Yes,
how does
absolutely.
That, how does that? How?
Well, because your stress builds and builds, and you're not always going to be perfect on live television, right? So,
wow. What's the biggest mistake you made recently? Or do you like hyper judge yourself, and you even see sometimes when you like
all the time
bumble a syllable?
Yeah, all the time. Oh, yeah. I'll get done doing a hit and feel like there's no way people even understood what
I
was just saying.
Explain a hit for the lay listener.
Yeah, just doing a on air, talking on air.
30 seconds.
2 minutes. Yeah, a minute and a half, whatever it is. And it is like, I'll get done with it and be like, oh, I'm going to get fired. That was horrendous.
Now, obviously, you're hypercritical. No one else is seeing it that way. Or are they like, yeah, that was bad?
No, I generally see it worse than other people do. But I mean, I use social media as a great like barometer as to how bad something really was. Like,
really?
If one person says something, I'm like, okay, whatever, it doesn't matter. But if I check my Twitter after a hit that I think was not great and 10 people are saying close to what I was thinking, I'm like, oh man, that sucked as bad as I thought it did.
Like what? I'm dying to know. Can you tell me?
Oh, I don't know. Like, one time I could not get Xander Schauffele's name out for some reason. I just like got tongue tied somehow, like sex. It sounded like I said sex, like Xander. I don't even know how I did it. And he looked at me and like, oh, he's a Callaway guy, right? And from San Diego, like we're friendly.
Yeah.
And he was like, so it's different when you know someone on a more like friendly level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're more apt to like, they're more apt to laugh at you, I think. Because they know you, and they know inside you're just really struggling with something.
Well, he's a laughing kind of guy.
And he's hilarious. He's like one of the best humans, I think, on the PGA Tour. I am a huge Xander Schauffele fan. I think that's what I did, actually.
You just did it.
However that turned out.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically it sounded like I said like sexly or something like that.
Right.
And I was like, oh God, please help me no one notice that. And I just said it so quickly. And I look at my Twitter and it's like, it's like 10 people quoting it. And I was like, okay.
They all
know. So I definitely said that. Everybody heard what I thought I said.
At least you didn't call him Top Cock. Did you see that one?
No.
Oh, my God.
I don't even think we should be talking about that. I feel like this is such bad juju.
You didn't see the newscaster was like, she was trying to say the nation's top cop. And she was like, yeah, the arrest was made by the nation's top cock. Top cock. And then she literally goes, Top Cock. And then she goes, she starts laughing and she goes, Top Cop. And the guy, and it was like a news
losing
anchor.
It, right?
The guy next to her goes, that's going to be on YouTube later. It's,
I mean,
so good.
That's
just
the thing.
Google
when you start mispronunciating something, then you get in your own head about it. And it makes it so much worse. Because especially when you're live and there's no, that happened to me at the PGA Championship, actually. Scott, I was doing the statistical thing about him. And I meant to say, looking for his second major.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I said second. I meant to say he was looking for his second major championship of his career, uh-huh. Right? And at first I said looking for his second major championship of the week. I was like, no. So then thank God our producer, Lance Barrow, he's amazing. He like gave me time to correct it, right? So I'm like, of the week. I mean, the month. And I think I even said year. Like my brain was just like short circuiting.
Yeah.
And as they cut off me, my mic was still on and I didn't know. And I said under my breath, I was like, of his career. Like just like to myself, so sad. And so many people heard it. They're like, it sounded like you were locked in a closet by yourself, just like ready to end it all. And I was like, I was very sad.
Right. This is
but at least they heard me correct it, which even though it sounded like I was in a locked closet, like as they were on another hole.
I can't believe how hard it is to do live stuff. The only thing I've really done, we were talking about this earlier, like when we were outside, about Maddie G taught me a lot. And you know, who taught, who, you know, who were inspired by or whatever.
Yeah.
And I had to do this like live Q&A with Dustin Johnson.
Okay.
And I mean, you know, it's not a secret. Like Dustin, yeah. Dustin's not a talker. He's not like, you know, he doesn't, you know, he'll say that about himself.
Yeah. And he's not going to help you. Right.
Yeah. And so, and I, you know, I mean, I don't have notes. Like we're talking, we're finding the conversation. I'm used to that a little bit. Although at that time I hadn't started the podcast. So okay. I've learned a lot over the past year.
Yeah. I will say though, Dustin, as long as you ask him smart questions, he's going to give you a good answer.
Agreed.
You know, but there are certain guys, like when I say he's not going to help you, there are certain guys I could ask the worst question on the planet, like a Jason Day, right? Yeah. I could ask him the dumbest question and he's going to answer me as like, this is what you really meant to ask me. You know, like Dustin's going to answer exactly what you ask him. Because I think he's like, I do my job, you do yours, which I kind of respect.
Well, and he's not like, you know, I mean, people have different, you know, ways of, you know, being. He's not going to like try and entertain anybody, which is cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had to go in there and like I basically went in with no notes. It was a 15-minute live with a cat with an audience.
Cat. Oh, you need notes for that.
I didn't have notes because I didn't know.
Oh, no.
And I made a big mistake, basically. And luckily, it was with Adidas, who I've now obviously you and I have both continued to work with. But I felt like it was a huge failure at the end.
What was the mistake?
It was that I just had multiple moments of basically stumbling.
Oh, because you were trying to think of what comes up next.
Yeah. And you know, then it's at the same time it was him, and then it was like executives from Adidas,
right?
Like four of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I had to like kind of like cue, and I had like a thing. I'd like cue them into things. I had to cue them into things, and I had it. I did great. Everyone told me I did great, but in my head, I was like, I fucked that up.
Oh well, but that's the thing. It always does feel worse. Usually than how it actually seemed to everyone else.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that's part of it. I don't think you're going to be good in this or really in any job. If you're not the harshest critic of yourself, you're never going to rise to the top of anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you can't have other people be like, you really need to be better. And you respond and be like, I thought I nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like that's not a recipe for success. So I think live can be easier than tape too because you don't have the time to overthink it.
Right.
You kind of just have to go, which I really appreciate because I find now when I tape things, I get way too in my own head about could I have said that better? Could I have phrased that better? Should I have done this? Okay, yeah, let's do it over, right?
Yeah.
Like take 27. Where if you just have one time to do it, you got to just do it.
That's true. And that's one of the, you know, one of the ways we've looked at this podcast, which is podcast. Like what the?
There, see, I made that happen to you.
It is kind of, we are prodding with questions. Anyway, so, but luckily we can make those mistakes on the podcast and have fun with it. But, you know, it's been cool to not have a, you know, a buffer on it.
Yeah.
There's no editing.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. It's, I think that's the most authentic and genuine thing you can do, and I think that resonates with people. That's the thing. Like when I made that mistake with Adam Scott, and I could not figure out how many times in a week he had won a major championship.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I mean, it was funny because that was a moment I wasn't really all that hard on myself. Like I knew what I was talking about, and I just misspoke, and just couldn't get the words out right. And people's response was funny. Like they were really kind. Everyone was cracking up at it. They weren't mean spirited about it, anything like that. You know what I mean? So I almost felt like it was a really good moment where I felt closer to my community because you don't always have to be, I don't think anyone wants anyone to appear perfect all the time.
Right.
Right. Like that'd be great if we could be, but it's not real.
Yeah. That's basically my whole brand is built around that idea of not being perfect. you were talking about my voice, but now I'm hearing your voice in my headphones. You have a great voice. Are you ever recognized for your voice?
Yes.
Do people ever say that?
Yes.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I mean, I don't think it's always nice, but yeah, I mean, I have a very deep, loud voice. I think it's my octave of voice that really carries.
Octave.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like the level, like the sound.
Is, I think is if that you have decibels a, or is that
no,
the, is that
the
like
tone,
the note?
Yeah.
What note do you play? Do you know what it is?
No, I don't know. I should. You know, I played cello for 12 years.
No,
I should
sorry.
Know that. Oh, nope. Nope. Nope.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, I think it's the octave that it like cuts through things.
Yeah, it does.
It's like I'll be talking in what I think is the same level as everyone else and like three tables away. Someone will be like, I could hear every word you said.
Really?
And nothing of anyone else's.
Are you a loud talker?
I don't think I am. Maybe, I guess. I mean, everyone else tells me I am.
You do reporting in front of what's the largest stadium of NFL, right?
Yeah, and that, you know, you don't really need to talk loud for that because you have your mic, you have your IFBs in. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
IFB.
You don't. Yeah.
I asked you what that was.
You did.
Remember?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
When all I wanted was the job that you were given, and you were like, but what's an IFB? And what does the red light mean?
What is an IFB? Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I think I remember it.
I have no idea what it is.
You know what it means?
Internal.
Finance Bureau?
Yep.
Nope. It's an internal frequency brand. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So,
but you put it in your ear, and then you can hear people in the truck talk to you.
So you did golf for 7 years?
And then I guess this is my 8th year.
Right, but how long did you do golf before you entered into
CBS?
Yeah.
Five and a half.
Right.
Because I was with the PGA Tour, and then it wasn't even a year. I wasn't even a year here at Callaway until when everything's happened with Turner Sports, because Turner Sports promoted me from their digital coverage to TNT.
Right.
TNT is produced by CBS for PGA Championship Week. And then that's how that whole thing.
Yeah, I remember. I was very happy to see you. I remember I saw that.
I got that phone call that they have promoted me from digital to TNT coverage. And I called my parents bawling my eyes out. And they thought someone died.
Aww.
And I was like, no, this is good. I'm finally going to be on television. Not just the internet. Yeah, I mean, you just.
How far back can you trace that dream?
Yeah, 7th grade, 6th grade.
Wow.
I mean, here's the thing. One of my first memories is being at Old Three River Stadium watching the Steelers with my parents. Like, one of the first times I can remember really being emotional when I was younger was when the Steelers lost to the Cowboys in the Super Bowl and crying. Like, I have loved sports my whole life. Like, really loved watching sports. And I've always loved playing them, too, right? But I've always just loved that atmosphere and the sense of community that sports brings, right? Like, how fun is that? You can go to a stadium and you don't know anyone around you and you're all high-fiving and cheersing and drinking beer together and rooting for one thing where really that could be the only thing you have in common with 100 people around you, but everyone is best friends in that moment. Like, that is so cool to me. And it's the same thing for golf. It's any sport, right? Like, you could go out and play golf with someone, have nothing in common with them, but have the best time because you have that one thing in common.
Yeah.
I just think that's so cool, especially today with how sad our world is. It's like really nice.
Wait, is our world sad?
It's really sad.
Why?
I don't know. The world's just in turmoil, constant turmoil.
Yeah, I have a tough time with that one too.
Right?
I actually believe that the world's doing pretty well.
Do you as a whole?
Yeah. I mean, I know that I'm being a bit short-sighted and there are a lot of parts of the world that are in an incredible amount of turmoil. But at the same time, I truly believe that the fact that the entire planet is not on fire is actually pretty remarkable.
You know what? If you look at it that way and that's where we set the standard, yes, I would agree with you. That's a great way of looking at it.
Seriously, though. I mean, I know that America is a bit of, you know, depending on how you look at it, what's the word? It's not a utopia, really, but it kind of is. I mean, whatever. Let's not.
Yeah.
I'm about to get political. We don't need to go there.
No, we don't need to get political.
Your image coming to my mind of you at Three Rivers, like, is just the cutest thing. Like,
I learned every swear word that game.
Really?
Like, I have such vivid – I was 3 and have such vivid memories of that game.
Do you remember Neil O'Donnell?
I do remember Neil O'Donnell.
Do you know where he grew up?
No, where?
4 doors down from me.
Shut up.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I threw the ball with him as a kid.
What?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
He was a bit older than me, but he had one of those big ass.
Was Chuck Knoll still the coach then? I think so.
I don't remember that far.
Yeah.
But I remember Neil had, I was probably in my early teens, and my family would be like, oh, yeah, let's go throw the football with Neil. And I was like, great. And we went out, and I lived on a big cul-de-sac, so there was never any traffic. And we would just stand in the middle of the street. And I remember, like, I couldn't comprehend the size of this fucking football, like, because it was the NFL ball,
right?
Like, he wasn't playing a college ball,
right?
Wasn't like a Nerf. It was like bigger than my abdomen, you know, and like he threw it with such force that it was actually not fun.
That is so cool, though. But you'll always have that story.
He grew up Madison Dodgers. It was very, very well known. Anyway, but yeah,
that's
the
awesome.
The idea of sport and the connectivity there is pretty remarkable, even as
Isn't
so
it?
And what's interesting to me is, you know, I mean, you're not coming to this saying, I want to be an athlete. You're not coming to this saying,
right.
You're not even really saying that I want to go hit the links Monday, Thursday, Friday.
No, I don't.
You're saying sport for you is what is sport? I mean, I get it's that, but what is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's community. To me, that's what it is. I think it's just finding a common ground that takes you away from everyone's real world problems. You know what I mean? Like when something really bad happens in my life, and especially the last couple years, the only thing aside from like my mom and like whatever, but I would say like for me personally, the only thing that's gotten me through it is being able to go to work, shut out the rest of the world and watch a freaking football game or go and cover a golf tournament. Like that gets me out of my own head more than anything else on this planet.
Right.
And I know it's not just me, right? Like that's why people watch sports. That's why they go to games. That's why they spend money on tournament tickets. You know, they do it so they can be around their loved ones and get away from the real world.
Right.
So what's better than that? You know, I don't know. I just think it's the greatest thing. I really do. You don't have to be good at playing them. You don't have to understand everything that's happening, but I think everyone can appreciate what's happening in that moment when you're there and really like involved, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful perspective, you know, like and it's reminding me of, I can't remember what book it was, but I read this book that, basically boiled all of sports into one, theme.
Okay.
Which is that, in every sport, the athlete is, pursuing freedom.
Hmm.
Right. So in football, you're trying to get free
and get
the ball in the other end zone. In basketball, you're trying to get free and put the ball in the net.
Yeah.
In tennis, you're trying to basically get the ball free by moving it past the other player.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's golf?
Golf is actually the unusual one.
Yeah.
And they don't use it in the book. But golf, I think, is freedom from your own, you know,
headspace.
Difficulty. Yeah. Your own like swing inconsistencies.
Well, because you can't worry about your personal problems and focus on what you have to do with your golf swing at the same time, right?
True.
We see it all the time with players. The minute they, you know, find a significant other and are happy off the golf course or get away from a significant other that wasn't good for them, they're freed up to really focus on what's going on at hand. And
you see immediate
success.
You probably see that because you're inside.
But even if you don't have to be inside, right?
You're observing trends that others just aren't aware of.
For sure. I mean, you see Sergio Garcia is a perfect example of this.
I mean, I like Sergio.
He
even though Snowball
finds
almost bit his
the
hand off
love
today.
Of his, did he?
Yeah.
Snowball almost bit his head off?
Hand.
What?
Yeah, I told him. I said, Snowball, you want a fucking major? Relax.
Snowball, thanks for not trying to bite me, dude. I thought maybe you like me more than I thought.
Yeah, no, like literally like...
He literally growled and tried to bite him?
Didn't Sergio like yank his hands back too? Like I was like, oh my God, my fucking dog. Just
Snowball, get it together.
Ryder Cup.
Yeah. You know, Sergio's had... He's been, I think, very honest about his demons, right?
Yeah.
Not feeling like he's good enough to win a major. He's been in the spotlight for so long. And I love Sergio because he's so open and honest.
Yeah.
And has a great perspective as to the journey he's gone through and the way he's had to grow and evolve on that journey to be who he is today. But, you know, he got to a place in his life where he was really happy. He met the love of his life, Angela. He has a baby. It's all these things. And when you watched him win the Masters, I just find it hard to believe that would have been possible without everything in his personal life falling into place the way that it had.
Right.
You know what? I just think it frees you up. It really does. I just see it in these guys that, like, if you're complicating things in your head off the golf course, you can't have a clear mind, or maybe not say you can't. It's not a universal rule, but I think it's difficult to have a clear mind on the course because it's not like football where maybe you can let out your aggression.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, or basketball or stuff like that. I think it's the most intellectually demanding sport maybe on our planet.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
It's but I think what's interesting to go back to what you were saying earlier about family and you know your dream as a kid at Three Rivers, it's interesting now to think of you like on the field,
yeah,
like wearing the headset,
yeah,
you know, like doing, you know, literally with the family around you and I mean, I don't know if you've done this, but like, yeah, you have a family of people that, you know, have the truck and the headphones and the belt and
mm-hmm.
you know, they get your outfit ready or whatever, and you know, you get your sponsors, and but you got a family of people watching you millions wide. And
yeah.
You then create a story for them, maybe another girl like you who's like growing up in some other place who's
anytime
like, I want to do that.
Someone says to me, like, you're a great role model for my daughters. And I'm like, it like makes me like want to tear up because yeah, like, I don't think about myself. I still think of myself as like a kid that is really just trying to accomplish something. You know what I mean? So like, it's wild to me when a little girl comes up to me and is like, can I get a picture? And I'm like, oh my God, you want a picture with me? Like, why? I'm not good enough yet. You know, it's like, but yeah, it's amazing. I just think we're so lucky. We just get to work in the coolest world that if it's done the right way with the right intention is the most positive thing ever.
Right.
It really just is. Like, there's no bad, there's just nothing bad about it if it's just done the way it's supposed to be done.
Right.
I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah.
Any questions for me? I don't have one for you right now. if you ask me a question, I have enough time to think of a new one, though.
I don't know if I have a question for
you. Come on,
you.
You're an interviewer. You're great.
I know.
My round was great.
What was your favorite thing about the Callaway event today?
The people, like, without a doubt. Like, and the parked time.
Yeah.
Like, we all cleared our schedules.
Cool, right?
And
right?
Normally our days are just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, it's like up at, early.
Yeah.
And then the day is over. Mm-hmm. And you've basically just been on the phone, calling, emailing, texting, looking at images, looking at videos.
Yeah.
We've actually gotten a couple cuts back. I saw the emails come in. We got a couple edits to watch. But, like, we haven't watched them yet because we've just been here with people. And
been present.
Yeah. And, I mean, the golf club's great. Like, I'm sure the driver's going to be great. I'm not that guy, though.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you this and that about the driver because that's not me.
Yeah.
And I just don't entirely care, to be totally honest. But what I do care about is the cool, cool is probably the wrong word, the meaningful time that we've all had to spend together. I mean, the No Laying Up guys. Like, I met them for the first time yesterday.
Yeah.
And I know I know DJ, really, only, and DJ.
Yeah.
DJ Pihowski used to work for the PGA Tour.
Yep. Love DJ. He's very talented, too.
He's great at his job. Yeah, he's really a really good storyteller. Mm-hmm. And so that was really, like, we had this, like, great powwow last night where we were all chilling, and I had a dream about that. I had a dream because a lot of people were like,
"No Laying Up guys,
don't make it like that. Don't try."
I'm saying is, I think we need to refocus your dreams.
I had a dream. I had a dream that I worked with Adidas.
That's a cool dream.
And then that happened.
Really?
Yeah. And
so is this your way of telling me you're going to start working with No Laying Up?
No. No, I had a dream that we went to a party, and that was a dream.
Oh, okay.
With Adidas, it was a dream that we worked together.
Weird.
Yeah. And then 2 months later, it was like boom.
Cool.
Yeah. I had another dream that was pretty remarkable. I can't remember. Oh, I had a dream that I met Mark Wahlberg and that we like got along.
Did you?
And I forgot about the dream. And then the next day I met Mark Wahlberg and didn't remember about the dream until a day later. And I was like, wait, oh my God,
Dude, you might be, what's that called? Like when you can tell the future.
Lying? No, I'm kidding.
No.
No. It's a clairvoyant?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
You might have ESPN. I forgot what movie that's from.
That's
is that
really
from
good.
Dumb and Dumber?
I think that's Anchorman. No, it's Dumb and Dumber.
I think it's Dumb and Dumber. Anyone? No, Bueller?
No? One knows.
God. Wow.
No one knows. But you're not in the booth, okay? We don't have a... This is, Colt does facts for Fox, okay? Not to see...
most dudes know those type of movies. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's Dumb
and Dumber. I was stereotyping.
I think it's
then.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, so I think we're good.
You're sick of me? Time to go.
Well, I mean, we've done an hour.
Yeah.
Did it go by fast?
Honestly,
now?
I'm a little pissed off now that I've heard that Snowball tried to attack Sergio Garcia. What is wrong with your dog? He's so cute, but hates everybody.
That's not true.
I spent the entire day trying to get him to love me.
It takes him a while.
And he is now currently curled up in the corner as far away as possible from
Maybe
me.
Maybe he's upset that Callaway is not paying me.
They're not paying me either.
Mike
so Trump. Here we are.
Maybe they're not paying you. You work for them.
I mean, like, for this event.
Right. I'm not getting. I just mean, like, he's like my agent, you know? He's like.
Oh, Snowball. Yeah. All right. Well.
No, that's like what I was getting at. It's the coolest thing about the event. It's not. I actually am proud to not be paid to be here.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a cool experience to, like I said, like, be together. It's almost like a little summit.
And it's so many people that we only know in the digital space, and then you get to know them in real life. And 9 times out of 10, they're much cooler in person than they are online.
I agree.
Not all the time.
Yeah. Are we talking about Tinder or are we talking about work?
Work.
Work.
I don't do Tinder. I've never been on Tinder.
Dating. 10 minutes. Let's go.
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah, I know within the first 5 minutes.
Oh, I was going to say we could talk about it for 10 minutes.
Okay. You know, yeah, go. You, that's my one
I would
one
say
thing.
I know within 5 seconds.
Wow, way to be a one-upper.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to be.
I got to think through all of the possibilities. Yeah, 5 minutes. That feels like a...
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, they say it takes 2 years.
What? Who's they?
Doctors and scientists.
No, it takes 2 years.
Relationship
to,
people.
To know what? What does it take 2 years to know?
It takes 2 years to really know somebody because the first 6 months to a year and a half is like
they're on the best behavior.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're on the interview.
That is the one thing that I've learned is now you have to believe the red flags when they're shown to you.
Yeah. Someone wrote like, a book about that.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I think it was called, or maybe they didn't. It, there was a quote like that when someone shows you they are believe them.
Yeah. But it's like I always make excuses. Oh, yeah. Well, this is because of this or that. No,
yeah.
Red flags. We're done here.
Well, it's hard because I mean,
new
life,
year, new me, Eric.
Yeah, 4 days in. Well, life. I mean, you know, I think you and I probably can relate. Over you travel so much.
Yes.
That when you come home, it's like, okay, like I gotta regroup quick. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, and there's not a lot of time for. It's really hard because people are like, let's hang out. And you're like, I'm gone for 3 weeks.
Right. Right. But I will say I have not met one person. Actually, I did meet one guy and we hung out for like 3 or 4 straight days. And I was like, okay, like this could be good. And I'm home more right now, whatever. And then he ghosted for 8 days.
Whoa.
And then tried to come back. And old me would have been like, you know what? He probably had a really great reason for it. New me. Nope.
Good
I don't have
you.
Time for you anymore.
Good for you.
Right? So now when I come home, I actually value my time.
Yeah.
Because I would rather spend it with people, like with friends and stuff like that. So then you just don't go on any dates.
Yeah. Just no dates. No date
team,
November.
Team no dates. That sounds way worse than
too.
A dry January.
I've gotten there too a little bit. Like,
right?
I'm just like, yeah, I got home and I'm just like, and I'm going to watch a movie.
Because, yeah, what's the point? You're going to go on a date and then be like, cool, I maybe liked you. I'm not sure. So see you in a month.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
No.
Or let's like text kind of for a month.
Right.
About my fucking crazy schedule and try to
let me tell you over and over again how busy I am.
Yeah.
That sounds fun for both
of us. Yeah, or how was your day? I don't know. It's still going.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean like it's literally doesn't stop. You know what I mean?
We do have
Evan and I were talking
jobs,
about that because we were just in production. We were just in Mexico and it was like our first trip together. And he was telling me that he was texting his wife at night. And, you know, it's that thing where I've experienced it. I've had, you know, other significant others. And, yeah, at the end of the day, they're like, how was your day? And you're like, I don't even know. Like,
really?
Literally, it's been so many things have happened since I woke up.
Yeah.
That I can't even pluck a best of. And honestly, thinking about it is exhausting.
It stresses you out even more. Yeah.
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 And
I
that's
can
not
see that.
Like I don't know how to say that in like a loving way. And that's why I'm single.
But I think it's fair to say, like, hey, I'm drained. Yeah. I'll talk to you about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hard one.
Okay, no date November. Let's go.
Yeah. No date, yeah. Yeah. I mean, but you must be, I mean, what you did something online that I called you out on, didn't you? Remember you did something and I was like, and your DMs are flooded. Remember what that was?
Oh, I make jokes about how single I am sometimes. But it's not because like I want people to slide in my DMs.
But
I just
you must
think
get
it's
a lot.
Funny.
You must get a lot of sliders. I just get, I you know, honestly, my DMs
dudes.
Just filled with like really sweet 35-year-old dudes.
Could you send them my way? Because my demographic is not that. And that's what I need my demographic to be.
Yeah. My demo is, and not 30 minutes, but it really just people who love golf that are inspired by the game.
Yeah.
And I really, if you send a DM, I really appreciate you. So thank you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I try not to answer those. So it's not that I don't appreciate
everyone. What do you mean you try
not
to answer those? What do you mean?
So I have this weird boundary in my head that in my mind makes sense, that I only communicate to people, only respond back to people on Twitter. Because to me, Twitter is a platform built for open lines of communication.
Well, it's public, yeah.
Instagram.
And it's limited.
Yeah, like Instagram, I really try not to answer DMs from people I don't know or comments on Instagram posts. Because I feel like if I start down that slippery slope, I'm going to literally be on my phone for the rest of my life. Like, if I can compartmentalize and say, yes, you answer on Twitter, no, you don't answer on Instagram, and I don't do Facebook, period.
Yeah.
That feels more manageable in my head than having to answer on two different platforms.
So how many DMs do you have in your inbox right now that you haven't read?
A lot. And
thousands.
I don't
know. It only says 99 plus.
Yeah, though. 99 plus. Yeah. Let's see.
Just pages. Yeah. Just, well, the internet's not even fast enough. To, yeah. Oh, my God. It's still going. This is the population of the planet right here. Everyone on Earth has DM'd you.
And I just, it's not, sorry, guys. I appreciate it. I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't emotionally do it.
It's a lot. Like, and I have to buckle down and do it. You know?
See, but why?
Because I believe that there's a benefit there that I don't even know about.
Like, do you think it's rude that I don't?
No.
Okay, that's
good. I think it's totally your prerogative.
Because I just feel like, but if you reach out to me on Twitter, I'm going to answer.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, that's cool. And I do that. Actually, I'm on Twitter way less, but, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For me, it's like, there's a lot of golfers out there that are hurting.
Wow. Really?
I think so.
Is golf a sad sport?
Yeah.
No.
It can be. And that's even sadder, is it doesn't have to be.
How sports is like the most positive, uplifting thing in the world. And you're like, but there's actually a lot of sad golfers that need help.
Yeah, there are. There's a lot of people that are playing the game for the wrong reasons. And I'll just say that, even though I don't conduct their lives.
I can see that.
But and I can only say this because of what I've read in my DMs. And
yeah.
So the reason why I read those and respond to those is not because I want to have an extra conversation and I have a bunch of free time.
Right.
It's because I find it inspiring because usually they're saying something like, thank you. I actually didn't enjoy golf for a minute. And, you know, by watching whatever.
Yeah.
Adventures in Golf or by listening to the podcast, like you turn me on to whatever, Dr. Parent Zen Golf or something or it was entertaining or like I actually like went out and tried it differently. Because for me, golf began as an epiphany, like, oh, this is actually a game where you can use it as almost like a barometer for how I am or who I am and how I behave.
Oof, that is emotionally exhausting for me to even like think about.
In a DM or in life?
Life. And yeah. Also, all of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exhausting. This thing just keeps like falling away from.
It does.
Yeah.
It's.
The mic may be quitting on us.
We're good. I mean, we've definitely recorded a lot. I feel really happy. I feel good about this.
I feel like we're ending on a really depressing note, but okay.
Right.
Yeah.
End on a positive note. Do it, Amanda. Come on. Steer the ship.
I don't know. See? Not creative. Don't know where we're going.
End us like on a TV show on CBS.
Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you had as good of a time listening to it as we had recording it.
No, but do your reel. Like, how do you out the CBS? And then
I don't. I say back to you, Jim. And then Jim Nance does his thing because he is the legend.
Oh, my God. How often do you hang out with Jim Nance?
I mean, not often enough. He's so cool.
He's married, right?
Yes, he's married with two adorable kids and an older daughter, Caroline, who's closer to my age. She's also awesome.
You were at the Masters this year. Remember the Wheels Up party? With NetJets.
I did not go to either any of those.
Yo, okay.
I was very overwhelmed all week.
So I went up to Jim Nance, and I was like, I'm a huge fan, obviously, and I know everybody says that. And then he's like, oh, thanks for saying hi. Da-da-da. And I was like, look, I won the lottery to play Augusta on Monday. And he was like, that's amazing. And he goes, did you bring your clubs, Eric? And I was like, I did. And he's like, that's great. You're going to have the best time.
And he means it. That's the thing.
Oh, he meant it.
He means
it. He responded to my DM. And
he's not even.
No, I know. But I mean, like, in life.
I was like, it's a fake Jim Nance account. Don't answer that.
No. But then basically he went on stage and he goes, I wish you'd been there, Colt. It was so amazing. He gets on stage. And I mean, the NetJets party is no joke.
Yeah.
It's a tent the size of a city block.
Insane.
And there's a private plane inside of it, and then there's like two stages, and the food is like the best food you've ever had in your life.
It's insane.
And Jim Nance gets up on stage and he goes, welcome to a night unlike any other with NetJets. And I was literally like,
yeah, he's the best. He's the best.
Like, I literally, I got aroused and like, and just like emotional.
We should all aspire to be like Jim Nance professionally and personally.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, right? Like, he has every right to not be a good person because he's so amazing at what he does. And he's the best human being on top of everything else.
He has a golf hole in his backyard, true or false?
True.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
And we got to Podcast over.
Podcast. But on that note.
Is it real grass? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not AstroTurf.
No.
Where does he live?
I cannot tell you.
Come on.
No, he lives at Pebble. Everyone knows he lives at Pebble.
Yeah, but I mean, like, where? What hole?
Oh, no, I actually can't tell you that.
Oh, really?
Well, no. That's Everyone's weird and know. Creepy. No.
I'm not a creep. All creeps, please turn them off volume down.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No, no. Okay, he lives on Pebble Beach, on the course, somewhere.
Yeah. Amanda, stop it. Amanda. It's making me uncomfortable.
Anyway, I guess that's it.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that was good.
Did I freak you out? I feel
Fox
like we
Chapel.
Covered a lot of things.
It's normal.
Okay.
It's pretty normal.
Pretty average. Pretty mediocre.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying
for. No, it wasn't mediocre. It was entertaining. Usually I try to we've been on for an hour and 20 minutes. All right. Anyway, thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for
a
having me.
A long time
me.
Coming. It's been a while.
I know. We're finally in the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been like.
See you in a month.
I saw you at the Masters. We were at the Masters together.
But I didn't actually see you, I don't think.
No, we hung out Sunday night.
We did.
I left after 2 minutes.
You did. Yeah, I don't know if we can even call that a hangout.
Yeah, I went into the bar.
Yep.
Me and Hallie went to go meet up with you.
Yeah.
It was crowded, and I was like, I'm playing Augusta, Mom. I'm leaving.
That's true. You had you had better things to rest up for.
I went across the street. I got breakfast at Waffle House.
Yep.
A dinner at
Solid
Waffle
choice.
House. Solid choice. Went back to bed. Went to bed. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. No one cares.
I care.
You don't care.
Snowball cares. Snowball cares about nothing.
Doing? Okay, we need to end the podcast, everybody.
Okay, goodbye.
It's done, and thank you. Good night.